615 1320 WILS. It's the one of the auto industry's most closely watched quality surveys, the J.D. Power Initial Quality Study, just out. And for the second straight year, Kia taking the top spot. But how did the big three do? Let's ask David Amadeo. He's the senior manager of automotive quality at J.D. Power. David, great to have you on WILS.
Great being with you.
Yeah, this what's Kia doing? How are they at the top for the second straight year?
Well, you know, 20 years ago when they entered the U.S. market, they were at the bottom. And they wanted to get a foothold in the market. And somewhere along the way, they set goals for themselves that they were going to be number one. And they have just, you know, every year meticulously refined, focused on every customer complaint and every issue that comes forward and everything that comes throughout in the study, and have just managed to deliver.
And then by initial quality, you mean the first, exposure to the car?
Yeah, it's the first 90 days that a customer has the car. You have a chance to get used to the vehicle a little bit, try things out, and ultimately the industry wants to read on what people are feeling in that first 90 days.
Okay. And typically, where's the focus? Is it inside the car, outside the car?
It's really everything. And it's a mixture of those hard problems, something broken, something not working, you know, your trunk not opening or a door lock not working. And it's also the difficulty to use things. Does your voice recognition system, does that recognize your commands? Does the navigation system work the way that you want it to? Things like that.
And how did the big three do in this year's study?
They did really well. They are, for the second year in a row, they are outperforming the imports. So
really? What do you credit that to?
That's another one of they have had a relentless focus on improving vehicle quality. They've listened to the customers, they've studied them, and they have realized, you know what? If we do this, we're going to have happier customers. We're going to have more repeat customers.
David Amadeo with us on WILS. He's the senior manager of automotive quality at J.D. Power. I noticed in your compact premium car segment, Cadillac ATS is in there. That is built right here in Lansing. Has that been on the list previously?
I'm not sure. Okay. Not sure how that's done historically.
Gotcha. Because, I mean, there are a lot of segments, right? I mean, there are, well over a dozen segments, right?
Yeah, we have over 20 segments.
20, okay.
Yeah, ranging in all the various class sizes of cars to the pickups to the SUVs.
And when you look at, let's say, the pickup and SUV segments, do any cars or brands or companies stand out in that area?
Well, it really depends. I mean, when you look at the Koreans, for example, when you look at Hyundai, Kia, Genesis, they're the ones that lead the pack overall. The domestic manufacturers, they come in second, and then you have the Japanese and the Europeans that are kind of doing about the same, bringing up the rear.
Interesting. And the Koreans really, now, is that the same with Hyundai, for example? Is that at the top near Kia somewhere?
Yeah, Hyundai is at the top of the list. They actually rank sixth this year, tied with Ford, and just a bit behind Ram. And, you know, they've also had a relentless focus on quality as well. Their sister brand, Kia, has just done it that much better.
Yeah, I've never driven, or I don't think I've even been in a Korean-made vehicle. They're just that good, huh?
I've driven a number of them, and you get in, and it's really hard to find fault with them.
And now you say the European brands are at the bottom, although, you know, you think about BMW and Audi and some of these high-end brands. How are they not doing well in this study?
BMW does really well. You know, they're tied at sixth with Hyundai, so they're right up there. Porsche, of course, is number three. But then at the other end of the list, you also have Jaguar and Volvo and Land Rover, which tend to pull that average down a little bit.
Does this translate, David? I mean, after the 90 days, do you see the same kind of results from respondents in terms of the brands and how they feel about them?
For some things, yes. Some of those design issues they've figured out. You know, maybe a software update has solved the voice recognition problems over those 3 years, because we do have the vehicle dependability study, which measures what people think of it after 3 years. Mm-hmm. For some of them, people just give up. They're like, you know what, I tried this, I can't use it, so I'm not even going to bother. I didn't necessarily want navigation on my car to begin with. You know, I thought I'd use it, but right. It's fine if I don't.
Just a button you don't push anymore, is that it?
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
And you just get more comfortable with your vehicle over time.
Yeah, there are a lot of buttons in my car I don't use at all. I drive a Subaru myself, a Legacy. Does that do well in these in the study?
Subaru comes in at 25th.
Okay, that's not good. Doesn't sound good at all.
That's below average. Yeah.
Although they're great in the winter, I'll tell you. In the snow, I love driving it. But in terms of all the little buttons and things, a lot of things I don't touch in there. I don't even know what they do. Many of them. So,
and that's something that's important too, because a lot more vehicles are coming with all this advanced technology as we go towards an era of, you know, potentially autonomous vehicles. You see more lane departure warning systems, and you see more collision avoidance and all this high tech stuff, which more and more people are starting to have on their cars, and they're starting to, you know, question it, or they're starting to have some problems understanding it. Yeah. And so that'll be probably the next big thing for the industry to keep an eye out for.
It's David Amadeo, Senior Manager for Automotive Quality at J.D. Power. David, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thank you.